Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into Nats Insider here on 106.7 The Fan. Dan Kolko joining you actually from long distance. I'm in Montreal right now, out of town and taking a few days off, but still here with you on a Saturday afternoon here on Nats Insider. Nationals have split the first two games of their series with the Diamondbacks. Two more to come, with Steven Strasburg taking the ball later on today. And then the Phillies and the Braves roll in. Long homestand for the ball club. 11 games, longest homestand of the year, actually. And so a chance for the Nats to try and make their way up the National League East, up towards 500, and hopefully above with more time. We've got a good show for you this afternoon. I'll play a little bit later on my interview with Steven Strasburg that aired last week on our Nats Extra pregame show. Sat down with Steven to talk about the 9-year anniversary of his major league debut. Kind of crazy to think that it's been that long since June 8th, 2010, when Strasburg wowed the entire baseball world with his major league debut against the Pittsburgh Pirates. 7 innings, 2 runs, 14 strikeouts. And I sat down with Steven to recap that entire day, what he was feeling, what he was thinking, the emotions and all of it. So we'll play that interview for you in a little bit. I'll also chat with Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post, my buddy, to talk some kind of big picture Nats topics. I want to talk to him about how he feels about current standing of this team, what might be coming over the next, month or so, as we have some important weeks leading up to what will eventually be the trade deadline on July 31st, the only trade deadline this year, no waiver trading period. So maybe even more important for the Nationals to, one way or another, just kind of decide whether they're in this thing or if they're not going to make a run, you know, what the possibilities might be in terms of maybe trading some pieces away, something that, you know, this organization hasn't done a whole lot of in the last handful of years. So I'll talk to Barry about that, and then I'll be joined by Jake Burns of the Nationals to talk about all of the cool promotions and things that will be going on at the ballpark throughout the rest of this homestand. First, let's talk about last night. Max Scherzer yet again did what Max Scherzer does. 10 strikeouts for Mad Max in 7 innings. The Nationals pick up a much-needed win. They're all much-needed wins at this point. Max now sliding his way up the all-time strikeout list, passing Bob Feller, passing Warren Spahn. This guy continues to make moves up that list, and his comment after the game when told about that by reporters, I read this morning, is just typical Max. He said, "Sweet, you know, let's keep on going," or something to that effect. Max always looking ahead, always looking to get better and for the next challenge. Max gave up 2 solo homers last night, but this is something that I want to talk about, not only because Max Scherzer's home run rate is down this year, down below where it's been in past years, but also because Max has mentioned a number of times that he doesn't think that solo home runs will beat you. And last night, honestly, is a perfect example of that and kind of proving his point. You give up 2 home runs in a start and you think, you know, maybe you're in trouble, but that was all Max allowed. He allowed 3 hits total. 2 of them left the yard, but the Nationals still win a ball game behind him. And Max, he doesn't want to give up homers, certainly, but he's preached for years now that he's not going to let solo home runs affect him that negatively. And if I want everyone to flash back to San Diego real quick on the last road trip. The Nationals hit 4 consecutive home runs, all solo home runs. And We cut to a shot of Max Scherzer in the dugout after that, the fourth home run in that group. He was being pushed by hitting coach Kevin Long. Somebody picked him up, and everyone was celebrating around Max. And I wondered why that was the case. And so I asked Max the other day. I said, "Yo, hey, what was up with that? Did you predict Anthony Rendon's home run there to make it four in a row? What was, why was everyone essentially attacking you in the dugout?" And Max said that it was because after the first home run, after the second home run hit by Hallie Kendrick and Trey Turner, he was telling guys in the dugout, "All right, solo home runs, yeah, they're cool. You want to come in and celebrate, fine. How about, you know, how about we hit a multi-run home run? Those are the ones that win you games. I don't care about solo home runs." He's saying this in his own dugout as his team is homering. And so after the third one, guys were like, "All right, Max, yeah." And Max told me he was thinking, "Okay, you know, three home runs, that's cool. That, you know, that'll be good." And then after the fourth one, that's when everyone got all over Max and was saying, "All right, four home runs win you a game? Will that make a difference?" And so Max was smiling about that. And in that case, four home runs did win the Nationals a ball game, even though they were solo homers. But that's what Max is all about, is, you know, trying to find ways to win at any way possible. If the ball leaves the yard, fine. He's not gonna let it affect him too much, and especially if it's a solo variety. So two solos given up by Max last night, but he goes seven strong, strikes out 10. The Nationals win. Max Scherzer, over his last five starts, by the way, has a 1.06 ERA. 1.06. Just amazing what this guy is doing. Giveaway for you right now on Nats Insider. Got an Adam Eaton autographed bat to the 10th caller, 800-636-1067. Call in now, be the 10th caller. We'll give you an Adam Eaton autographed bat. The awesome giveaways on our Nats Insider show just keep on coming week after week. 800-636-1067, be the 10th caller. Win yourself an Adam Eaton signed bat. Take a quick break on Nats Insider. When we come back, I'll play that interview with Steven Strasburg, looking back at his Major League debut a little more than 9 years ago. More Nats Insider coming at you right after this. Welcome back to Nats Insider on 106.7 The Fan. Dan Kolko with you. And I want to play now the interview that I had with Steven Strasburg that aired on our Nats Extra pregame show on Masson last week, a week ago today. A week ago today was the 9th anniversary of Steven Strasburg's Major League debut. It was so incredibly hyped. Every Nationals fan, every future Nationals fan who didn't know at the time that they were a Nationals fan, everyone who had even a passing interest in baseball, in sports even, here in the D.C. area, back on that day, June 8th, 2010, was captivated by Steven Strasburg making his Major League debut. Then 21 years old, had made just 11 starts as a minor leaguer after being taken number one overall in the 2009 draft by the Washington Nationals. Quickly made his way through the minor league system and had all eyes on him the entire way. And then his debut came against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And remarkably, you know, how many of these hyped debuts have we seen across the sports landscape over the years where, you know, the player is young and a rookie and they're nervous and for whatever, you know, legitimate reason, doesn't manage to live up to all the overblown expectations. That was not the case with Steven Strasburg. It was not anywhere close to the case. He went seven innings against the Pirates that day, allowed just two runs on a two-run home run, and struck out 14 Pirates hitters. His fastball touched 100 miles an hour. His curveball was absolutely ridiculous with the movement that it was showing. And his changeup, which he didn't feature as often back then as he does now, was a nice weapon for him as well. He threw 94 pitches and somehow got stronger as the outing went on. Ended up striking out two Pirates in the fifth inning, struck out the side in the sixth inning, and struck out the side in the seventh inning. And Nationals Park was just buzzing, absolutely buzzing. So leading up to last Saturday, I sat down with Steven Strasburg to recap his debut. He's not typically someone that likes looking in the rearview mirror. He likes to focus on the challenges that are ahead of him, his next start, what he needs to do to get better to help his team win ball games. But Steven sat down with me for nearly 15 minutes in the Nationals Park home dugout, and we relived that day, June 8th, 2010, and went through all of it, what he was feeling, what his stuff felt like, and all of that. And some of this won't apply as well on the radio medium as it does on air, as I watched back portions of Strasburg's start with him on my iPad, but I think a lot of it still carries, and so I wanted to play that for you guys now, for those who didn't hear it, or for those who did and just want to relive it again. It was a really fun sit down. I'm glad Steven was able to do it. And here it is now, my conversation with Steven Strasburg, recapping his electric Major League debut.
It was an event that, not here in DC, but across the baseball landscape, there was so much excitement about it. Did you feel any of the external energy or excitement that was here in D.C. or that was just kind of hovering around the debut?
Yeah, I didn't really have anything to compare it to. I think a lot of people, you know, after that start kind of, you know, made it look like it was playoff baseball. And, you know, again, I never experienced playoff baseball, so I just thought it was going to be like this all the time, and was just trying to soak it all in.
What were the emotions that you were feeling that day, from when you woke up through when you got to the ballpark and you were going through your pre-start routine?
Really, I was so young that I knew I was just going to do what I knew I could do. And, you know, fundamentally, I wasn't going in there looking for or expecting any certain results. But I think, you know, it was important for me and my family to just enjoy whatever was going to happen, because you know, you only get one of them. And you know, I think to have that experience, have my mom and my dad and, you know, my coaches from college here in attendance, that was just such an incredible experience and something I'll never forget.
We've got some footage here of events kind of leading up to first pitch, you walking out of the dugout, all the media swarming around, walking out towards the bullpen to warm up. You got a smile on your face there.
Yeah, I remember that, actually. You know, I'm usually pretty stoic and, yeah, you know, pretty focused. And as soon as I get out there, you know, everybody's like clapping and stuff. And one of the first things Steve McCaddy said to me is like, you know, they're not here for you. Like, they're here for me. And he actually, there's a picture of him kind of tipping his cap to the fans and stuff, and they're yelling Steven because we obviously have the same name.
Did that in any way help kind of lift something off of your shoulders or lighten you a little bit as you were going into your debut? Do you think that did anything for you in the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, when Cat was here as a pitching coach, he always kept me loose. He knew I was, you know, very, very focused and at times, you know, a little too tight. But, you know, he always had the one-liners in there to kind of like, all right, like, you know, it's just another game. Let's have some fun.
We're sitting right here next to the steps that you walked up to head out to the mounds. That had been a dream that you had as a baseball player growing up your entire life. You worked so hard for that moment. Do you remember that specific moment of getting ready to walk out to the mound for the first time?
I think the one thing I really remember is, you know, running out to center field when I was warming up, and I kind of made a point to you know, kind of take a step back, give myself a chance to just see everything and kind of just feel the fans and feel the moment. And that feeling is something that I'll never forget, just seeing everybody in the stands, you know, sellout crowd. You know, it just kind of gives me goosebumps thinking about it.
Let's go to the actual start now. And you were facing the Pirates that day. Andrew McCutchen hitting first for him. Neil Walker hitting second. And then you got 0-2 on Lasting's millage.
Swing and a miss. Steven Strasburg's first major league strikeout.
You know, it's always been a pitch that I feel like I've had the ability to throw for a strike and throw it out of the zone with two strikes and get him to chase.
You struck out 14. Do you remember anything in particular about the way that the ball was coming out of your hand that day or the way that your stuff felt?
I don't know how that pitch moved that much, but to be honest. But I don't know. I think it's just pure adrenaline, really.
And you struck out 8 of the last 9 hitters that you faced. Do you remember anything about the end of that outing, about you getting towards the finish line and the crowd seemingly getting louder and louder with every punch out and working off of you?
It was very similar to when we were pitching here in the playoffs against the Cubs and rallying behind each pitch, and especially with two strikes, just kind of having that noise in the background pumps you up a little bit more, and I think it kind of makes a hitter a little antsy too. So it definitely gives us an advantage out of there when our fans get behind us on each pitch.
You have 100 wins as a big leaguer now under your belt. Does it feel like 9 years ago? What does it feel like?
Give or take. I think I'm blessed to, I played as long as I have, and I hope to continue to, play much longer. I think I start to feel older when, you realize that, you're 30 years old now, and, you got guys in the clubhouse that, were my age 9-10 years ago, so it's pretty wild.
I'm writing down numbers in my school book that I'm not really believing right now.
So there you go, Steven Strasburg recapping his major league debut. And that was a really fun conversation for me to have. As I said, Steven, as I'm sure most Nationals fans know, somewhat a reserved private guy, I think is safe to say. And as he mentioned in there, is, very caught up in the moment in his starts. And it was cool for me to hear him, talk about that moment with Steve McCaddy and how that did kind of lighten him up a little bit going into such a nervous, stressful experience. And, watching back those clips of his breaking ball move and hearing him comment about how even he, who's been throwing that breaking ball for how many years now, was kind of amazed by how much it moved that day on June 8th. Just a fun conversation and cool to hear it from the man himself. So I appreciate Steven taking some time with me and allowing us to relive that special day. Nats fans, you can celebrate Father's Day with no fees at Nationals Park. Pay no ticket fees on all remaining home games. Give dad the gift of baseball by visiting nationals.com and entering code DAD at checkout. Act fast. This offer is good through Father's Day. We'll take a break on Nats Insider. When we come back, I'll talk to Barry Sraluga, my buddy of the Washington Post. Talk some big picture topics with this Nationals team. Lot to discuss. We'll have that conversation with Barry right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Nats Insider here on 106.7 The Fan. Saturday, two more games against the Diamondbacks, two in the books, long homestands the rest of the week. Phillies coming to town and then the Braves after that. Big homestands for this Nationals team. And joining me now to discuss this club is Barry Sraluga of the Washington Post, my good buddy. Barry, how you doing?
Great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, Barry. Let's talk about something that we were just discussing, a column you read for the Post on, we're getting close to Midsummer Classic time, and I think it's clear to anyone who has watched any Nationals games this season that Anthony Rendon should be an All-Star. The fact that he hasn't in this point in his career is kind of crazy. The fact that he's fifth at last tally of NL third baseman is crazy.
He'll probably end up making it eventually, but you were saying that you feel like there are four guys on this Nationals roster that are worthy of going to the All-Star game. Who do you got, and tell me why?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of crazy, given what we have described this season as, which is an abject disappointment, just scratching and clawing to get back in the race here with this pivotal homestand. But if you look at Rendon's an obvious case, and hit, you know, 1,000-plus OPS, there's no way he won't be in Cleveland. I have a sneaky good case for Howie Kendrick. Mm-hmm. I know Davey Martinez has endorsed him. Getting the endorsement of your own manager is not that big of a deal. But, I mean, ask yourself the simple question, where would this team be without Howie Kendrick?
Yeah.
Versatility, hits the ball hard so much. He has as many homers. He entered the homestand with as many homers as Bryce Harper. And actually, I think is seventh in the league in OPS if he was allowed to have the right number of plate appearances, exactly. And then I think it's really easy to make arguments for Scherzer and Strasburg. Usually 9 or 10 starting pitchers are named to the staff, and some guys can't pitch and all that kind of stuff. You're trying to tell me those two guys are not two of the 9 or 10 best starters? And I can run through the statistical categories, but I think it's pretty easy to make a case for four Nats. Kendrick is probably the outlier. The other three, they should all be there.
Yeah, when you're talking about Max, he at my last check is number one in the National League, not just the National League, sorry, all Major League Baseball in WAR among pitchers.
Yes.
So he has been, by that metric, the most valuable pitcher in Major League Baseball, win total notwithstanding, even ERA notwithstanding, because there's been just some weird stuff that's happened behind him. And for a while there, Strauss was number two, right behind him in all of Major League Baseball. And, you know, he had a tough one against, I think, the White Sox last homestands that inflated his numbers a little bit. But I'm right there with you. And if you're talking Howie Kendrick to me, we've talked about this on our Nats Extra Pre and Post Game show. If you're asking me to name a Nationals MVP to this point in the season, I'm not saying Anthony Rendon. I'm saying Howie Kendrick.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that's where you're considering an all-star, you're looking at the whole league, and it might be harder for people to understand. You always appreciate what you see every night a little bit more than if you're just looking at stats and stuff. And so Howie's contribution, I think anybody in that clubhouse would say, who's the MVP in terms of keeping us in line and in order here? We've always talked about Max's kind of type A personality, but to be it's hard to be a leader, a true leader, the only leader when you play every fifth day. It's not Max's fault.
Sure.
So you need a guy who's been around for 14 years, who is thrown into any situation, whether he's playing first, whether he's playing second, whether he's playing third, whether he's getting an at bat off the bench in the seventh or the eighth, or he's starting. It's just an incredible perseverance by him, and I think it makes us remember how big his loss was last year. Really, really disappointing season, but we didn't think much of it at the time. A veteran bench player goes out with a ruptured Achilles. He's a difference maker. He's a really fun player to watch.
And his teammates really rally around him. I mean, he really, I think he would acknowledge that he's taken on more of a quote-unquote leadership role as his career has gone on, and maybe didn't even see himself as becoming that type of a guy, but he has for this club, and that's clear. Here with Barry Srilouga of the Washington Post. Barry, you know, two more games against the Diamondbacks the rest of this series, and then four against the Phillies, three against the Braves. How would you characterize the importance? It's easy at any point in May and June to say that it's a big road trip or a big homestand. If I'm asking you the importance from 1 to 10 of this specific homestand for the Nationals in 2019, what number are you giving me on the scale?
7.5 or above, I think. I mean, you know, I had gone, after they got swept in New York, a New York team, a Mets team that seemed like on the precipice as well, four games up there. I thought the season was lost at that point. I thought everything was on the table in terms of what's the manager's future and are they going to start selling parts. They obviously handled that correctly. They came back and started winning series. This homestand is important because the three teams that they're playing are all ahead of them in the standings, particularly the two divisional teams. The Braves are the hot team right now. Phillies are sputtering a little bit, but they have to make progress. They have to win series. It is very difficult to win four-game series because then you're playing 750 ball. 750 ball doesn't really exist over 162 games.
Right.
But I don't think that 5 and 6, that is a step backwards. You're going to be losing ground at a time when it's pivotal that you gain ground. So I think if you're in that 7-4, 8-3 would be obviously a great stretch, but it's got to be on the positive side so that you can march toward the All-Star break and say we're gaining ground, not losing it.
Barry Srilugo of the Washington Post joining me now here on Nats Insider. And Barry, you know, if we're talking about the importance of gaining ground, it's not just, you know, playoff standing that we're talking about. There's only one trade deadline this year. They eliminated the non-waiver period all throughout August. It is only that July 31st deadline. We are now, 6 weeks away from that. So in my mind, and tell me your thoughts on this, this homestand, and especially, you know, maybe the next 2-3 weeks, will possibly determine whether the Nationals feel that they can make improvements and they should be buyers to this roster, add some pieces and give themselves a real chance to make a run at it. Or maybe in just that quickly of a time span, they could become sellers. And then what type of conversation are we having here? How big is the scale in terms of the sale? But I feel like this, not just this homestand, this couple weeks now could very much swing the entire season if you're talking about that deadline, because we are working towards it and teams are wanting to improve their roster, not just on July 31st, but the first week of July and maybe even late June. That's what the Nationals did last year.
For sure. And I think when you get to that point when you're starting to talk about, oh my goodness, could they be sellers, you get in a hurry to some of the biggest names on the roster. I mean, you have to start, if you got to that point, you have to start with Rendon because he is the free agent to be. They are working hard to try to re-sign him. That is a two-way street. They understand that they lost Bryce Harper, an iconic player that they developed for only a draft pick. They lost him to a division rival. The foundation going forward, to me, has to include Rendon. It's hard to see them being an annual contender and losing players of that Harper and Rendon caliber in back-to-back years. And still just being a rolling out 90-win teams all the time. So this, it just gets really serious really fast, and you're right about only one trade deadline. You used to kind of be, and in fact the Nationals did last year, do it in pieces. Hey, we're dealing Murphy. We're still evaluating dealing Harper, and they came really close to doing that a couple of times. There's a lot. It'll be interesting to see how front offices handle it, because there isn't a two-step process anymore. You got to make your evaluations, and you got to be right with 2 months left in the season.
You're in or you're out.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Mike Rizzo has shown to this point, and talking to people inside the organization, when things were really bad, he has been very positive and has put faith in the roster that he assembled. Now, it's his roster. He believed it was good. He wants it to be good. But he has said to people inside and outside the organization, this group is too good to not put it together. They put together this little mini streak. Can they extend it through the homestand? Maybe you could get to the end of this homestand and be like, well, it's clear they're not going to be sellers because they've reestablished themselves. They might not win the division, but can they go get an extra arm? Can they boost the bullpen as they have in the past? It really, really interesting questions over the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Barry Srilugo joins us here on Nats Insider. Barry, I have two more questions for you, and the first is kind of on this topic of trading. The Nationals last year were kind of, and you mentioned it, they were kind of in some middle ground where they wanted to further evaluate a team that they felt like could get on a run and really, you know, take the division by storm and make the postseason late. It didn't happen, so they decided to sell off pieces throughout, you know, late July into August. What's your impression of that middle ground when it comes to this year, how it might be different than last year, and whether in some backwards way it might be better for the Nats if they're not going to make the postseason this year to just be out of it as compared to kind of hovering around that will they, won't they sort of territory?
Yeah, no, I think that would make it easier because I think the front office ownership in the front office's expectation here is to win. They have had a contending team, you know, obviously some down years they didn't make the playoffs, but they've constructed a roster that was intended to contend essentially every year since 2012. It's a hard admission to make that, oh no, it didn't work out, and now we're going to have to unbuild, deconstruct what we put so much time and effort and resources into building in the first place. It's a very, very difficult thing. And Mike Rizzo is by nature a fighter. I mean, he is pushing forward and not really readily admitting, okay, we got to break this down. And I'm saying that as a positive. He's a stubborn fighting guy.
Yeah.
That I have a hard, if they're anywhere on the fence, I have a hard time believing he's going to say, like, you know what, it's not going to work out. We're going to sell.
Totally.
But again, that's one of the reasons why I love that they put it together for a little while here, because rather than just waiting for some sort of sale that seemed inevitable because they weren't playing well, now we've got intrigue and questions and a possible race and all sorts of different things, that different directions it could go.
Here with Barry Srilouga of the Washington Post, joining me now on Nats Insider. And Barry, final one for you. You mentioned Anthony Rendon. You mentioned his contract situation. You discussed that it's a two-way street and that the Nationals need to want him and he needs to want to stay. I think it's very clear that there is those roads are both open, to continue that, you know, metaphor, that Anthony likes it here and would like to stay here if it works out, and the Nationals certainly would love to have him around. The terms need to make sense for both sides. This two-part question for you. One, do you think the Nolan Arenado contract made finding that common ground significantly more difficult for Anthony Rendon and the Nationals? And part B to this question, where do you think things stand now? What's your gut sense on it all?
So I would say on the Arenado deal, yes, it makes it harder. It's another all-star third baseman. We presume Rendon will be an all-star. An all-star third baseman, offensive numbers, best numbers of a third baseman over the last whatever in the National League for a while. And the way that it will work against the Nats and Scott Boras, Rendon's agent, would use it is, okay, let's look at Nolan Arenado, who plays half his games at Coors Field, take his road splits everywhere else he plays games, and put Anthony's numbers up against those numbers.
Yeah.
I've done the slash line on this. Rendon's OPS is higher than Arenado's road OPS. And Boras could say, like, hey, if Anthony Rendon was played at Coors Field, that's what we'd be looking at. And that makes some sense. I get it. It makes it a little bit harder. What were the numbers on that deal? 10 years for 286?
It was mid-200s. It might have been a 9-year deal. I'm not sure exactly.
246. I don't have it in front of me. That makes it harder. I think the Nats' comfort level is more at the Jose Altuve 5-year, $140-ish kind of range. Rendon, I don't get the impression, is a guy who wants to play for 14 more years. You know, I think years he'd be fine with shorter on. But Scott Boras isn't. He's not taking note of the Arenado deal. And so then you go to the other question: where does it stand? My understanding is there have been pushes by ownership toward Rendon, appeals by ownership with new numbers from what they had talked about originally in spring training. I don't know what the numbers are. And we can dance around this topic all we want. Until we know, and unless we know what those numbers are, it's almost impossible to evaluate whether they're close or not. I think it's important that neither side has said we're just shelving the thing, because then you'd really be talking about, oh my gosh, they're going to lose him. But it's just, I think if you're a fan and you want him to stay, quiet is okay. Because I do think that there's been some small movement, at least discussion. We'll see where it goes.
So much interesting stuff going on with this club. Barry, thanks so much for the time, buddy.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you having me.
Nats fans, you can celebrate your favorite 3-time Cy Young Award winner and his 300 strikeout milestone that he set last year with a Max Scherzer bobblehead presented by Delta Airlines. First 25,000 fans to the Nats-Braves matchup on Friday, June 21st will take one home. Get your tickets at nationals.com/tickets. And MLB TV, you can watch baseball live or on demand on your favorite supported devices. Save 50% now through Father's Day. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.
Stick around on Nats Insider. We'll talk to Jake Burns of the Nationals after this, hear about all of the exciting promos and events going on at the ballpark through the rest of this long homestand. Cool conversation with Jake about all that right after this. Welcome back to Nats Insider here on 106.7 The Fan. Dan Kolko, joined again by Jake Burns, Executive Vice President of Business Operations with the Nationals. And Jake, we are, what, a couple games now into the longest homestand of the 2019 season. It's been a wacky schedule of late, but got a good long stretch at home now. So plenty of opportunities for parents to bring their kids out to the ballpark with kids being out of school now. So two more games against the Diamondbacks, and then a couple division rivals coming into town with the Phillies and the Braves. This should be an exciting long homestand.
That's absolutely right, and thanks for letting me be here, Dan. Yeah, we've got the Phillies and the Braves coming up. It's going to be a huge homestand for us. Obviously, Bryce is going to be returning this week, which should be very exciting if their last series here was any indicator, but definitely would encourage fans to come and support the team in these two very important series.
No doubt. So in addition to the play on the field, which, as you touched on, this could be maybe the biggest homestand of the entire season in terms of results and the Nationals trying to vault their way back up the NL East standings, so many promotions, giveaways, exciting things at the ballpark over the course of this homestand. Let's touch on Star Wars Day, which is later on today here at the Yard, and all that you guys have to offer, including the giveaway, which I know people have been really geared up about.
That's exactly right. Star Wars Day is obviously one of our favorite days of the year. It's a very important day for us. And like you mentioned, we've had a very special person that has been helping us plan for Star Wars Day this year. So if anybody's seen the videos circulating on social media right now, you'll know that our resident expert and all-star closer, Sean Doolittle, has helped us design this year's bobblehead. For the first 10,000 fans that come to the game, they'll get a very special Obi-Sean Kenobi bobblehead that features Sean Doolittle in a Jedi cloak with the removable hood, which is really, really cool. But in addition to that, the entire park is going to be themed out for Star Wars. We'll have Star Wars characters roaming the concourse, dressed in clothes and costumes and, reenacting scenes and available for photos. I think we're going to have some really special food and beverage options. I think we'll have Wookiee cookies and lightsaber skewers and dark side nachos and even some Vaderade. So should be a lot of fun for all of our fans.
People that order the dark side nachos, I maybe have to question their allegiance to the rebels? Are the rebels the good guys?
The rebels are the good guys.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it's been a while for me on Star Wars Day. But you mentioned Sean Doolittle and the Obi-Sean Kenobi bobblehead. This is something that he helped you guys craft. Is that right? He played an integral role in putting this design together.
That's absolutely right. He was very involved in the design, had a lot of very strong opinions about how it was going to look. And look, at the end of the day, it turned out great. We're really excited about it.
So after Star Wars Day is complete, there's other stuff going on through the weekend when it comes to play ball weekends. This has been an initiative throughout Major League Baseball and with the Nationals. Tell us what play ball weekends is all about and what kids should be excited about.
Yeah, we're very excited and honored to join Major League Baseball in promoting Play Ball Weekend and their initiative, which is really designed to celebrate youth baseball and softball participation in communities throughout the U.S. and Canada. As part of this weekend, any fan age 12 and under will receive a Nationals arm sleeve upon exit of the ballpark. So that's for both today's game and tomorrow's game. And in addition, just we're all, as part of Play Ball Weekend, we're going to be hosting the Baseball Tomorrow Fund equipment drive. So fans coming tomorrow's game are encouraged to donate new and used baseball and softball equipment outside of the center field gate. Our collection will start around 11 a.m. and will continue through the third inning with all donated equipment benefiting the Ward 8 Little League. This is all hosted in conjunction with the Baseball Tomorrow Fund, which provides a local youth organization with a $5,000 grant to purchase additional new equipment, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, very cool. So bring your equipment tomorrow, and that'll go to benefit the Ward 8 Little League. That's very cool. And we've seen in Ward 7 what the Youth Baseball Academy, all the good that it's done there. So bring your donations in terms of gear tomorrow for the Sunday game. Here with Jake Burns, Executive Vice President of Business Operations with the Nationals. And Jake, you've got another college day, from what I understand, coming up. These have been rolled out throughout the course of the season.
which college or university are we going to hear a lot from over the course of this homestand?
Yeah, we've got University of Maryland Day on Monday, June 17th. So would encourage all students, alumni, and fans of the university to come out, cheer on the Nats while also celebrating your alma mater. And again, that's on Monday, June 17th. And for the first 1,500 fans who purchase a ticket through nationals.com, you're going to receive a limited edition co-branded hat, which features our new spring training design and the University of Maryland logo. So go to nationals.com/special ticket to get that ticket.
Yeah, sweet looking hats. We loved them down in spring training. They've been a big hit with the college branded logos as well throughout the course of the season. We also have ladies night later on this homestand. What are you guys offering for all the ladies who roll into the park on June 20th?
Yeah, we're happy to bring back ladies night presented by Tyson's Corner Center. So this year, anybody that purchases a special ticket to Ladies Night will get access to an exclusive pregame party and giveaway, which is a fashionable travel bag. And you'll also be able to enjoy Q&A panels with some special guests. You'll be able to get access to drink specials and retail vendors, some food samples, and much more. So again, go to nationals.com/special tickets to check that out.
Dan Kolko here on Nats Insider with Jake Burns, the Executive Vice President of Business Operations with the Nationals. And Jake, it's not just the Obi-Sean Kenobi bobblehead that you guys are rolling out over the course of this homestand. There is another, I don't even know how many Max Scherzer bobbleheads there have been in his time with the organization, but he keeps doing positive stuff and so keeps giving you guys opportunities to put out cool, unique bobbleheads for him. What can you tell us about this latest Max Scherzer bobble that will be handed out?
Absolutely. On Friday, June 21st, we're going to be celebrating another one of Max's tremendous accomplishments. For the first 25,000 fans that come through the gates on Friday's game against the Braves, you'll receive a special Max Scherzer bobblehead presented by Delta Airlines. That bobblehead commemorates the game from last season when Max recorded his 300th strikeout. It's a great collectible piece, and we really think that fans are going to be excited about it.
So it'll be Friday, June 21st. Get yourself another Max Scherzer bobblehead. Jake, anything else that you want to highlight throughout the rest of the homestand? It's a long one, and you guys have stuff pretty much every single day, it seems like.
We do. One final thing for Sunday, or a couple of things for Sunday, June 23rd. That's our Sunday Fun Day presented by Harris Teeter. So the first 10,000 fans age 12 and under that come out for that game will receive a special Screech hooded towel, which is essential for any kid that's going to be participating in pool and beach season. Definitely a must-have giveaway. We'll also be doing our yoga in the outfield after the game. And that's presented by Kaiser Permanente. So fans who purchase a special ticket to yoga in the outfield will receive a discounted game ticket, a Nationals-themed yoga mat, and will be invited to participate in a post-game yoga class on the outfield grass at Nationals Park, which is a really cool experience. That class will be led by Chris Parkinson, a certified yoga instructor from Vita Fitness. So again, go to nationals.com/special ticket. We've got tons of things going on and, you know, definitely good reasons for folks to come and join us at the ballpark.
Jake, final question for you. I know from talking to the players inside the clubhouse how important it is to them to have the support of the fan base and to have a full stadium and a loud stadium, and especially when they get back from the road to feel like they really do have a home field advantage. From your guys' perspective here inside the offices, inside Nationals Park, what does it mean to have the support of the fan base and to have people turning out in waves to support their ball club?
Yeah, absolutely. It means everything to us. We certainly appreciate everything that the Nationals fans, you know, do to support the team, come out and cheer us on. I've had similar conversations, and I know it really helps drive the players, helps their performance on the field. And so, you know, having a full ballpark and fans here in the park is incredibly meaningful to us. And you can't tell you how much we appreciate our fans for continuing to come out to support us.
Jake, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That'll do it for Nats Insider this week. Steven Strasburg will get the ball for the Nationals later on today against the Diamondbacks. Two more this series, and then the Phillies and Braves rolling into town. Lots of exciting action through the rest of the homestand. My thanks to Barry Sraluga. My thanks to Jake Burns and to Steven Strasburg for sitting down with me a little bit ago. That'll do it for Nats Insider. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.